Well, if it's possible tonight, I would like for you to be able to see the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 27. It's only 9 verses, and so maybe that can be posted on the screen, and you will have the text before you for this study. King Jotham is the man's name. Have you ever heard of him? King Jotham, J-O-T-H-A-M. Well, he was a king of Judah. And so what do you know about him? Some people, of course, rarely give attention to the Old Testament narratives about those kings of Israel and Judah because there were two kingdoms. A lot of people know, just if I know a smattering of Bible history, know that the first king was Saul, and he turned out to be a disappointment. And then God appointed David, the man after his own heart. And then David's dynasty ruled in the southern part of the kingdom until it came to an end. The northern kingdom split off from David's kingdom a couple of generations later. David's son, you know, Solomon. Then after Solomon was Rehoboam, the kingdom was split. The northern kingdom was ruled by a series of dynasties. But the southern kingdom out of Jerusalem was ruled by the dynasty of David. So all the kings after that were sons of David, as it were. And Jotham was one of those. Perhaps you have heard that the kings of Judah were rated according to a standard by which some are good and some are bad. That's not how the Bible puts it. For instance, in 2 Chronicles 27 and verse 2, it says of Jotham, he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. If you look at chapter 28 about his son, you'll find that he did not that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Chapter 28, verse 1. So that's how the Bible sees these kings. It does not rate them according to their military successes, their economic policies, successes or failures, or their international diplomacy, peace treaties, wars, and so forth. It rates them as God sees them, as men who had responsibility from God over a very special nation, the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. And they were to serve God as kings, not themselves. And they were to lead the nation in their own day in a way that would serve the purposes of God for the good of his people and for God's further purposes that had to do with redemption and the blessing of all nations through the seed of Abraham. Well, Jotham was one of the good kings, as we have seen. He did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. We have the record of him here in 9 verses in 2 Chronicles 27. And then in the parallel account in the book of 2 Kings chapter 15, you have only 7 verses, 16 verses to tell us about this man who we are told ruled for 16 years. And just that and no more. In fact, some of the bad kings, some of those who displeased the Lord, some of them highly displeased the Lord and led many people into sin, are given more attention in the Bible narrative than is King Jotham, this good and faithful king. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, as you could see if it's on the screen. And he reigned for 16 years. And then it said of him, and the way the Bible often expresses death, he slept with his fathers, was buried with his fathers. But that is not just simply saying he died and was buried, but that he was placed in an honorable a cemetery or a sepulcher in the city of David, his ancestor or father. So this Jotham is not well known, and he's like some other people in history, in other relations and other nations that may have done well in their work, but somehow get largely overlooked. And Jotham is largely overlooked. The chronicler, 2 Chronicles, tells us more about him than does the author of 2 Kings. And the chronicler focuses on some characteristics of Jotham's life and reign that he wants us to know about. And I think that when you focus on those, you see they're of value to us as people under a new covenant through Jesus Christ. That is, Christians can learn something about faithfulness to God, about pleasing God, by reading the way that this author presents Jotham. First of all, it is said of him, he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, verse 2, but that's not all it says, if you notice the text carefully. He, according to all that his father Uzziah had done, And yet he entered not into the temple of the Lord. Uzziah, his father, was one of the good kings, but having reigned a long time, Uzziah made a very outrageous breach of the commandments of God concerning the temple. He became quite strong and powerful, was well known, and had a reputation that spanned across out surrounding nations in his great successes. And Uzziah decided that he would go into the temple, even into the holy place, and there burn incense. Well, there was no place for the king, not in God's order. God had priests to do that, and Uzziah was not a priest. And God's priests, some 80 of them in number, confronted him. And Uzziah, in his arrogance, became angry. And God struck him in that moment of his anger and pride, struck him with leprosy. And he was ushered quickly out of the holy place, lest that place be defiled by the presence of leprosy, though it be a king who is a leper. And he had to live in a separate house for the rest of his life. Perhaps he had some hand in the administration of the government, but Jotham was the one who then served as co-regent with his father and largely administered the government and was the king visible to the people. And he continued in that role, lived a relatively brief life, only 41 years. 16 years he served as king. And here is this point made about him at the very beginning. He not only did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, following the good things that were his father practiced, but he did not do the bad thing that his father did. And why was that? Because determination, his purpose was to do what was pleasing to the Lord. It was not an effort to carry on the legacy of his father in its entirety, but to carry on what his father did that was right. And thus he distinguished himself from some earlier sons, like Absalom, who never was king, who had a father, as I said this morning, was a man after David, God's own heart, for Absalom's father was David. And there was so much good about David that Absalom could have followed. All the kings of Judah are measured against the standard of David. That's how God thought about David and his faithfulness. And so much good in David that Absalom could have followed. But instead, Absalom followed things that were bad, the sins of David, the sins that drove David to his knees and broke his heart and cried out to God in penitential psalms, asking God to forgive him for what he had done. Absalom learned nothing about such repentance, but he learned a lot about sinning, and he liked sinning, and he was a great problem to the nation, as well as a grievance to his father. But here is Jotham, just the opposite. He follows the good things about his father, not the bad things, because he wants to please the Lord. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And then notice also that the people did corruptly. There were many people in the land under the rule of Jotham who continued evil practices. But he did not bend his policies as the king of Judah to conform to those people or to please them. He was steadfast in holding to what was right and governing the nation as God willed. That's commended to us as a worthy example. And this writer wants us to know about that. God wants us to know about it. And then the second thing you read about Jotham, you read in verses 3-5. And perhaps you can read that from the screen. And you see that he fulfilled his responsibilities with regard to defending the nation, with regard to seeking to assure prosperity in the nation, and also in projects that brought improvement to the nation. Oh, what does this say about Jotham? It says that he's a man who knew his responsibility before God and for the care of the people, that he was not in that position to do as he pleased and to satisfy or gratify his own desires. He was there to serve God's will for the good of the people, serve God's purposes. Here's a keen sense of responsibility and a reverence for God and a love for the nation. And that too is commended to us as a worthy example. And then the third thing that's said about Jotham is found in verse 6. He became mighty. Well, his father had become mighty also. And his father fell because of pride and arrogance in his great might, but not Jotham. Jotham became mighty because he ordered, King James says he prepared, a word meaning to establish. The New International says he walked steadfastly. He ordered his ways before the Lord his God. So that when he became mighty by doing what God wanted him to do, he did not then turn in a different direction and do what he wanted to do. Though he was mighty and had great power, could do as he pleased if he chose to do it, he instead continued to do exactly what God wanted him to do. Those three points are brought to us by this writer because God wants us to see them about this man, this great man, to whom so little attention is given. At the age of 41, he died, he was buried, but that's not the end of the story. He's remembered in Scripture. And because he is remembered in Scripture, and God wants you and me to know these things about him, Jotham will not be forgotten. But will he be studied? Will his example profit people? It will be if they open their Bibles and read a short chapter like this, just 9 verses in the Old Testament, and think seriously about these words. What is God seeking to teach me here as a Christian? And what we see as Christians is that Jotham had in himself the fundamental qualities of faithfulness to God. The three points that I've brought out tonight from this text are all essential qualities of being steadfast in one's relationship with God. So then, did his life count for anything? Many people would speak about the tragedy that he died at such a young age, only 41 years. But many others reading the Bible and thinking about this would say, what a good life it was, how well he lived, how God has honored him, and how God has blessed us so that we could read and know about this man and learn from his example. We extend the gospel invitation tonight to those who seriously hear the gospel, the word of God, the gospel of salvation, who realize that in the gospel, God is calling them through Christ to come to himself, to those who would confess that faith in Christ with hearts of humility and repentance, come to God for his cleansing power, coming and being baptized into Christ to receive the blessing of salvation, or to Christians who, for whatever the need may be, would seek the blessing of their brothers and sisters praying for them. Perhaps even coming now as we stand and sing.
There is coming a day when the Lord is God. No clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day. What a day!
I'll quickly go over the plans for this evening's festivities. I hope you are excited. I know I am. And I'm also hoping our kids are really, really excited. As soon as Kelly prays for the food and blesses the food and has our closing prayer, in just a moment, we're going to get all the kids a little bit of time, if they need to change their costumes, whatever. And then all the kids will meet outside in front of the fellowship hall. Okay. That way you get people who have to get their trunk set up plenty of time to get all the candy ready. And all the decor put up. So all the kids go over there. We'll wait about 10 minutes or so, give time to change. And then we're going to let them free to just go run around. And good luck to all y'all in the bottom parking lot, okay? So if you want to give out candy, please move to the bottom parking lot. And that should be great. And whenever the kids go through the line and get to see all the trunks, get their candy, come back up to the fellowship hall. We'll have a few games and stuff set up outside, some activities for the young kids. And, of course, everybody's invited to the meal inside the fellowship hall, and then towards the end of the night, we will have a costume contest. So get pumped up about that as well. So send us a prayer, make it way over there, and look forward to a fun time tonight after service.
We'll sing the first and third verse only of this song. If there's anyone here tonight that has not had an opportunity to take the Lord's Supper, it's been left across the hall to my right, and dismissed at this time. Beyond the sunset, oh, blissful morning, when with our Savior and it's begun, earth's tolling ended, oh, glorious dawning. Beyond the sunset, when day is done, beyond the sunset.
This time, we pray for the food that was prepared for this event. Heavenly Father, we do the heart, and pray that you will continue to go with us as we face the trials of this world, which will help us to remember thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.